Thank you, ladies. What a blessing. Luke chapter 8, as we look at this portion of Scripture and finish up chapter 8 this morning, we will look at the introduction of Jairus, and then the issue of blood that the woman had, and then the invitation that God gives to believe. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts through your word this morning. We thank you that we can come just as we are and that you love us just as we are, and that you save us and change us, and we thank you for what you do in us and through us and for us. Help us to give you glory this morning as we study your word together. In Christ's name, amen. As we look at the introduction of Jairus, Jesus is going about, and it tells us in verse 40 of Luke chapter 8, it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And so as we look here, Jesus is ministering to people. Jairus is there, and the people are waiting to receive Jesus there. I read that verse, and I couldn't help but think of the Lord coming back again. One of these days he's coming. And here it says they gladly received him, for they were waiting for him. You know, when Jesus comes, there are some, unfortunately, that are not going to gladly receive him. They're not waiting for him. They're not looking forward to that day. And we can look forward to that day when Jesus comes again. He's going to receive us to himself, and we can gladly look to that day. And so Jesus' popularity had been spread abroad, and so people knew what he was able to do and what he had performed these miracles. And so they were looking forward to see what he might be able to do for them. And so Jairus was one of those people who was waiting to see what Jesus could do for him. And his plea in verse 41, when he goes to Jesus, he fell down at his feet, showing respect and even worship. And he besought him that he would come to his house. And so he has this prayer request of Jesus, and he's going to the right place because Jesus is able to answer all of the requests that we have. And we go to Jesus as well. Now, we may not be there physically at his feet like Jairus was, but we have just as much the presence of God with us whenever we pray, and we can go to him. And the problem that he had was that he had a daughter, an only child, and it says that she was dying, 12 years old there. And so we can imagine that the pain that he was going through when he has this daughter that he's brought up from a baby, and here she is 12 years old, and it doesn't look like she's going to live much longer. And that's hard. Fortunately for us, we haven't been through that yet where we have lost a child. Some of you probably have there. You know, when our parents pass, we kind of expect them to pass before us, and that's not even easy, but whenever losing a child must be. And so he was concerned about his daughter, and so he comes to Jesus. But in verse 42, he has a predicament here, and that is that the people were thronging him there. And here were these other people that were keeping him from getting to Jesus. And oftentimes, as we make an application to that in our lives, if we're not careful, we can let other people keep us from getting to Jesus as well. Oftentimes, people will follow a crowd rather than do what they know the Lord wants them to do. And so he's doing everything he can possibly do, but there's this crowd there, and he can't get to Jesus there. And other people have needs as well. And it tells us in verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She comes. Now here's Jairus. He is talking to Jesus, and he's asking Jesus to come to his house because his daughter is about to die. And he's interrupted. Here comes this woman, and she can't get to him, and so she comes from behind him, the scripture says, and she's touching the border, the hem of his garment there. And now Jairus is no longer the center of attention anymore. His need that he has. And so Jesus paused what he was doing. And later in verse 49, we're going to pick up the story with Jairus, but we're going to move on to this woman with the issue of blood. You ever feel like you have a need like Jairus did, and the Lord is pausing what he's doing there? And besides that, Jairus there was there first. How do we handle those pauses in our lives when we see God beginning to work as he finally had opportunity to get in front of Jesus, and now he can't even speak to him because the woman with her issue of blood there? Aren't you glad that Jesus can handle many tasks at once? Now here in this story, he stops dealing with Jairus for a minute, and he'll come back to him, and he deals with the woman who had the issue of blood. But whenever we come with all of our problems to Jesus at the same time, he's able to hear all those. He's able to deal with all those things at the same time. And he's not in a hurry. Now, Jairus was in a hurry because he knew the dire situation with his daughter. And we oftentimes get in a hurry. But Jesus never gets in a hurry, does he? And he's listening to Jairus and his concern. And then the woman comes, and she comes with an issue of blood there. Notice the time frame here. It was 12 years. She had been having this hemorrhage, like she's got a health issue. And so she's coming to Jesus, having put up with this for 12 years. Don't you find it interesting that in the previous verses that we read, when Jairus was coming to Jesus, that his daughter was 12 years old? And so it mentions this thing of 12 years there. And think back, if you can place yourself at the time of this story, and then go back in time about 12 years. About 12 years before this, when this daughter was born, and when this woman began to have this issue of blood. Now, 12 years later, both of those things are coming together at the same time, and it's not an accident, is it? God had planned those things. He's bringing these things together 12 years later. And so we don't know what God is doing in our lives. Maybe he started doing something 12 years ago tomorrow, and it's going to come to pass tomorrow. I think about that when I think of our own lives. My wife and I, as an example to you, 1974. 1974 was a year that a 21-year-old man married a teenage girl. And in that same year, 1974, Sumter Christian School started. And then we would eventually have children, and they would get out of high school, and they would go to college, and they would go to Pensacola Christian College. Guess when Pensacola Christian College was founded? You know, 1974. So in 1974, you know, 44 years ago there, God was orchestrating our lives as we were married about 20 miles from here. And we didn't know anything about this church and school that was being started that same year. We certainly didn't know anything about Pensacola Christian College being started that year. But God was working. And here he is 12 years after this daughter was born, and 12 years after this woman began to have this issue of blood, God was bringing all those things together in his own time, because he's not in a hurry. He had a purpose and a plan from 12 years ago, and he's bringing forth this purpose and plan now. Well, she had her investments, but she had lost them all. It says she spent all her living, everything she had. She didn't have insurance, obviously, there, and so nothing else to do. She had been to many, many physicians there, and this illness that she has, it tells us in verse 43 that neither could be healed of any. So she had tried to be healed, but she couldn't. She had baffled all the doctors there. Mark's gospel tells us that the situation got worse. Not only was she not healed, but it's getting worse. So what does she do? Well, in her ingenuity, she decides to go behind Jesus. She comes behind him in verse 44, where everybody else was coming in front of him, even Jairus, and they were thronging him. She comes behind him, and she reaches and she touches the border of his garment there. And so now she's looking at her past and all the problems that she has had physically, and she is moving from her past to connect with Jesus. And whenever she does, her faith has moved her to action. She believes that if I can just touch the hem of his garment. There's a gospel quartet that sings a song. Maybe some of you have heard it. Touch the hem of his garment there. And I hear that song and I think, oh, what faith this woman had as she went and she touched the hem of his garment. And it tells us there, in verse 44, and it's immediately, she didn't ask Jesus like Jairus had done to come to her house. She didn't even ask him to heal her issue of blood. She just touched the garment. And when she did, immediately she was healed. What an amazing thing. Well, Jesus turns in his inquiry. He asks the question, who touched me? And Peter thought that was a strange thing for Jesus to ask because everybody was touching him. He was being thronged, it tells us there in verse 45. And Peter even said, "Master, the multitude's thronging you. What do you mean, who touched me? Everybody around you is touching you there." And so Jesus knew who it was that touched him. He wasn't asking the question to find out who touched him because he was God. And he knew who had touched him. And he wanted, no doubt, to move her to a closer communion with him. And he also wanted others to hear her story. And so he asked, "Who touched me?" And we see that whenever the Lord heals her, it is not just for the sake of her being healed, but it's going to be for the opportunity that he gives her to share the story. And so the influence that Jesus has here in verse 46, it says that virtue has gone out of me. The Lord Jesus had intrinsic power. He's God there. And here comes someone with faith that just touching his garment would heal, and it certainly did. He is God in the flesh. He's Emmanuel. He knows all. He knew who it was that touched him, and he knew why. And he knew what had happened to her whenever he did. And he knew that she had faith to be healed, and she was. And so now he's going to give her an opportunity to be identified here. And so as she is identified in verse 47, when the woman saw that she was not hit, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And so she comes trembling. She doesn't leave trembling, does she? Because later we see Jesus said, "Go in peace." And whenever we come to the Lord trembling with whatever issue we have, we know that the Lord is able to take care of that. Oh, he may have been working on it for 12 years in his own timing. He has a solution. He has an answer there. He has a reason there. She comes trembling, and then she comes with her testimony there. It says that she declared unto him. Well, she declared two things. First of all, she declared the reason why she had to fall in from behind and touch the hem of his garment, because she had this issue here. And she began to tell Jesus. Mark's gospel says that she told him all the truth. It's important for us, if we're going to have the full communion with the Lord, that we tell him all the truth. Not because he needs to know it, because we need to confess it. And so she comes and she tells him all the truth, everything of why she came there, because she had a need. And she had been to all the physicians, and they couldn't do anything. And I believe you could, Jesus, and I just knew that if I just touched the hem of your garment, I'd be healed. And now she shares the result. And she told them, she says, and she was immediately healed there. And so here she is being identified, and now we come to see the indicator in our life. How do we know that she had faith there? In verse 48, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." You know, we have gauges that help us identify things. Well, some are not as good as others. When it says your check engine light comes on, you might not know exactly what that one means. But some of the gauges we have needles, and some of the gauges we have lights. But these gauges we have are indicators to us that there's an issue. And so here we see that the indicator here of her faith was she was made whole. There was a change in her, and that is an indication that she had come into a different communion with the Lord. And the Lord wants us to be an indicator of his grace as well. She came as a stranger, but she left as a family member. Jesus called her daughter here, not obviously a literal daughter, but we saw last week that whenever people get saved, we become a part of the family of God there. She came with fear, and she left with peace. Well, where's Jairus during all of this? He is, I started to say, patiently waiting And he may have been patient. He may have been fretting. I don't know, but he's not right now in the middle of the story. He had come and the Lord had kind of put him on hold. Have you ever called somebody on the phone and as soon as they answer, would you hold on a minute? Do you mind if I put you on hold or something there, and then you're on hold and you listen to this music, and if it's good music, it's not nearly as bad as they put on some stuff that gives you a headache here. You ever feel like God has put you on hold? Well, maybe Jairus is feeling like God had put him on hold. And now we're getting back to the story of Jairus in verse 49. It says, and while he yet spake, he was speaking to the woman, and she was speaking, giving her testimony. And while he was speaking, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. And so we look at the timing of this event here. Thy daughter is dead. Why was she dead? Was it because the woman had interrupted Jesus? Was that why? Was the crowd who was thronging him, keeping him from getting to Jairus' house? No, that's not the reason. Was it the fault of Jesus because he was too slow? Well, we know that that's foolish. Of course not. Maybe it was to teach Jairus how to deal with interruptions. We don't do that too well, do we? Well, maybe I should just speak to myself there. To Jairus, it was an urgent thing. But now it's being interrupted and Jesus is pausing, and we don't know why other than this. We do know because he does all things for his glory. It was by God's design and purpose that he had this little girl who had grown up 12 years and this issue of blood that had been 12 years, and they come together and Jesus is going to take care of these things and he's going to get the honor and glory from it. And so when we feel like he's pausing or putting us on hold, he's going to take care of those needs according to his will, what brings him the most glory, and maybe we can be like the woman and give a testimony of what the Lord has done for us as well. And so the message was, don't trouble the master. Well, it's not an imposition on the Lord. It's only an imposition if he can't do it, if there's no hope, and there's always hope. Well, Jesus gives the message. He says, fear not, only believe. He's telling Jairus, it was faith that brought you here to meet me. Don't give up on that faith just because other people say she's dead. You keep believing there. Believe that I could do it. Keep on believing. And that's what we need to do, even if it takes 12 years. Don't ever give up the faith. Continue to believe, and God will do it in his timing. Well, in verse 51, there were five people that had a wonderful treat. They got to see Jesus at work there. And Jesus is working. He takes in the inner three, the inner circle of his disciples, as we see him often doing, Peter, James, and John, and then the father and mother. But all the other people, he tells them, you can't come in. Only these five. Isn't it wonderful to be a witness to what God is doing? We oftentimes get to see that. This past Thursday night, we had our parent-teacher meeting, and we had an induction into the American Christian Honor Society, and we had six new members inducted into the Honor Society, and they have a little biographical sketch. They answer some questions, and I shared that with our parents Thursday night, and there are five or six questions I ask them, and one is, when were you saved, and where or how, something to that effect. And of the six young people, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, that wrote down when they were saved, two of them said they were saved, two 10th graders, 3 years ago when the War of the Special Forces came. Wow. And I said, well, how encouraging is that? They got saved 3 years ago in the seventh grade, and now they're being inducted into the Honor Society. And then one of the other six says, was saved at the Anchorage camp that we take our kids to every year at the beginning. So three of the six that were inducted into the Honor Society, and two of them were new students this year, and so they had not been here long. And so we have seen God work through the War of the Special Forces, through the Anchorage camp there. And here are these five people that get to go in and see God work. where there were some people mocking there in verse 53, they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead there. And so here they are mocking. They don't get to see the miracle of Jesus. Those who mock the Lord, they miss out on the privilege of seeing him work. What a wonderful thing it is to see him work. And so Jesus gives his testimony beginning at verse 52 and through the end of the chapter. It says, "And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." Well, they laughed him to scorn because they knew, at least they thought, and she was dead. She really was, but Jesus had a plan, even from 12 years ago and before that even. So in his testimony, his words are comforting. It's comforting for those who believe. He says to them, she is not dead, she's just sleeping. And the Bible considers death as sleeping anyway, because as we sleep, we rise up again, and here she's going to rise up again. Jesus knows what he is going to do. But there are those who don't believe. There are those who not only didn't believe, but they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. But there was one thing they didn't know, that the one before them had the power to raise her from the dead there. What a wonderful thing to be able to see that in the room there. And so not only was his words comforting, his words were criticized, and they often are today as well. And when we share his word, don't be surprised if people criticize your sharing God's word, because they criticize the words of Jesus as well. Well, not only do we see his words being criticized, but in verse 54, we see how caring he was. He took her by the hand. Now, the religious people, the Pharisees especially, that were not able to go in and see this wonderful work, they never would have done that, because that would be ceremonially unclean. And Jesus wasn't worried about ceremonially unclean there. He was concerned about this girl. And they wouldn't touch the dead there, but Jesus did and raised them from the dead. Well, not only was he concerned, he was also compassionate. He said to her in verse 54, "Maid, arise." Now, if you remember the last two or three weeks as we've been looking at the miracles of Jesus, Jesus spoke to the raging winds and he said, "Peace, be still." And the power in his voice to calm the storm. And we remember last week, this man with a legion, thousands of demons in him, and that he couldn't be tamed and he would break the chains, and the power of the Word of God spoke to him and the demons left. And that same Jesus who spoke with such power and authority, he speaks to this 12-year-old girl with compassion and says, "Maid, arise." There. And the power was there. And the tenderness was there as well. Aren't you glad that not only do we serve a God who is so powerful, but he's so compassionate as well, that he can take care of that demoniac, he can take care of that 12-year-old girl. And so we see his words are commanding, because he speaks the word in verse 55, and her spirit came again. He said it, and it was so. Many years ago in college, I was listening to a preacher, B.R. Lakin, and he was preaching. He was close to 100 then, I think. He was an old preacher, and I loved to hear him preach. And there was a song that was popular back then. It was called, "God Said It, and I Believe It, and That Settles It for Me." And I'll never forget him saying, "God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not," you know. And so here, his word was commanding. He told his girl to rise, and she did. But not only was he caring and compassionate, he showed genuine concern. He commanded to give her meat. Not meat in the sense we think of meat, of chicken or steak and meat, but it's the idea of food. And as food is to the body, the Word of God is our food for the soul. And we often have opportunity to see people that have a spiritual need. And we're not Jesus, and we can't raise the dead. But we can give spiritual food, can't we? When we are concerned for those that are lost and in need, God's word has the power to speak to the demoniac, to speak to the raging winds. God's word has the power to speak to the shy, simple, quiet 12-year-old. God's word is able to meet whatever need, and we can share God's word. And whenever we are witnessing or counseling or whatever, God's word. Give them God's word. Jesus testified, and we see the last thing, his testimony was, it was confounding. And the parents, they were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done here. And here they were amazed at what he had done there. And they were trying to say, how is this possible? They were trying to mix faith and reason. If you try to mix faith and reason, you're going to be confounded and confused as well, because we just take the Lord at his word and believe and wait for him, because he never gets in a hurry. And whatever year it was, years ago, he started orchestrating something in your life, he's still working. And there's going to come that day, just like it was on this day, when this 12-year-old daughter and this woman with a 12-year issue, it came together, and Jesus took care of that. And he had not forgotten in the last 12 years. He has not forgotten you. He is able to speak with power. He's able to speak in tenderness. And he cares for us as he cared for these as well. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over disease, as we saw here, and he's Lord over death. Both of those situations seemed hopeless, but Jesus came by, and there was hope, and there's hope for your situation as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. There's a chorus that we have sung many years, at least whenever I was a child. Oh, what a difference when Jesus passed by. He makes a difference in our lives. Lord, help us to trust you day by day. Help us not to get discouraged and depressed whenever we see what seem to us to be interruptions or pauses that maybe you put us on hold, because you never forget us, and you are working, and you have a purpose, and in your own perfect timing, you will accomplish your will. Help us to learn as we wait. In Christ's name, amen.